Okay, this is Ross Bickerstaff from the Shepherd Express. I am here talking with people involved with David's Red Hair Death, an independent production. Could we all introduce ourselves?
Amanda J. Hall.
Tess Sinpinski.
David Rothrock.
Okay. I recall it was kind of a busy weekend, but I seem to remember this opening a long time ago.
I did.
And there were like three other productions opening that weekend, and most of them were Youngblood. this was David's Red Hair Death for Youngblood.
Yes.
And so now it's years later, and you're going back to it?
Yes. It has been one of those plays that just kind of has stuck with me. From the very first time I read it, it's kind of one of those plays that moves me emotionally, and I feel some sort of connection to it, even though I don't necessarily relate to the character in a way that I've lost somebody. I definitely feel what the playwright is telling us and telling the viewer. So it's definitely something that I wanted to put back up because it's my dream play. So I want as many people to see it as I can. And the first time it opened, unfortunately, it didn't get that big of an audience, but
there were a lot of other shows opening.
Yeah, that's the problem. I think there was I think it was like the Circus Parade came in after like 5 years of being off, so it was like, oh, it was good timing, guys. But that's, you know, that's all stuff that just kind of happens. But I'm hoping that we can reach a lot more people this time around and get the story out there.
Yeah. Is there a feeling like when we did it before there was something not right about it and we're going to correct that now?
No, I think I feel like these two productions are completely different. I mean,
same script.
Marilyn, yeah, same script. And Marilyn's even played by a different actress, and Jasmine Volmar was the girl who originally played it in Milwaukee. He did a fantastic job, but just Amanda's take on it's completely different. And they're both brilliant and beautiful women that play these roles, and it's cool to see what they bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how much Jasmine and I got confused for each other in college, though. Everyone always complimented me on shows she was in, and she got compliments on shows I was in. It was very funny. From, you know, the main stage, maybe I can see it, but
yeah.
So we always had that little bond.
How about that?
Yeah, because, you know, the entire acting community in Milwaukee is kind of a blur for me. I'm lost without a program. But yeah, I'm trying to visualize her, and again, it's just you that's coming up for some reason, because you're sitting right there, right?
Right.
Now.
Yeah. 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 And she lives in Madison now, so. I'm here.
Now, David, did you direct this before?
No, I was directing Savage and Limbo during the same, when Youngblood opened three shows to start their company. And so, for whatever reason, I didn't make it to the first David's Red Hair Death, along with everybody else, apparently.
So you had not seen the original production?
No, I had not seen the production. I hadn't read the play before, and then Tess asked me a few weeks ago, about a couple months ago now, if I would be interested in taking a look at it and directing it, and I read it, and it's a very powerful and interesting piece, and I jumped at the chance to direct it. Because, and then when we cast Amanda too, with these two, it's just they do like 90% of my work for me. It's awesome.
And that's what I was going to ask. I mean, so now you're like jumping into something that had already had a manifestation before.
Yeah, but it's in a different space. It's also years removed, and there's another actress, and it's just a different take on the play. Tessa's experience with the play has been a benefit. You know, she has so many choices and such a strong core to start from. She's very connected to the piece, and so that frees up a lot of discovery time and rehearsal to use it for other avenues. So
like our relationship.
It's been a benefit for her to have done it before, I think.
And it's been a while, but you were Marilyn, was it?
I'm Jean.
You're Jean, okay.
Madison,
right.
Maryland.
Yeah, okay.
And
obviously you've matured over the years. Character is still words on a page.
Mm-hmm.
How are you relating to her now? How are you getting along with her? I mean, you'd mentioned waking up with her words in your head.
Right, right, yeah. I do feel more of a connection with the role this time around, and I do think that I think David's right that I have the benefit of having worked on this show before, so it's kind of the memorization of lines comes a lot easier to me because they're all pretty much just recalling them and then like rememorizing them, which is really nice. So I get to focus more on how I relate to the character of Marilyn, and I can focus on how Amanda will deliver her lines to me or relate to me, and then I can relate back to her and play more on that level instead of trying to figure out like where I'm even coming from to start, which is pretty cool. But I think it's an emotional story, and it's a love story, and this is the first time I've ever been in love, and I feel like that kind of lends itself to playing the character, too, because if you feel love, I feel like you can play love a little easier, too. So.
That's sweet. Tessa's getting married.
Yes. I was joking. Is this something you're doing to take your mind off the fact?
I don't know if it... That might be a little... counterintuitive. The stress of putting up a play and a marriage.
Yeah.
I don't think one would.
And evidently starting shooting a film too. Yeah. A couple of shorts, was it?
One full length in. Actually, no, they're both full lengths. Yeah. That'd be good.
And I, you know, it's been, again, it's been a while, and refreshing my mind on this. It's a story told in fragments.
Yes.
And that can be really hard to pull an audience into. I mean,
yeah, it's designed as a puzzle to start, but the pieces of the puzzle are their story, and so they're figuring out how to place their story in the correct order, which is jarring at first to the ear, jumping from different points in time in the play, in the order of events as they see fit. Jean is more interested in skipping over the darker parts and trying to sort of barrel past them. And Marilyn is more of the mind of dealing with it so they can move on and stay together. And so there's an interesting back and forth between them when one starts part of the story prematurely, the other one has to pull her back and say, no, that's not how it happened. This is the way it happened. But it smooths itself out. The second act is not as fragmented as the first, but it's certainly an interesting structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess with that connective too, because it is a dialogue, and you're talking about the past through that dialogue. So that's like the connective.
Yeah, I say the same thing in a different order over and over again during different times. So that's been a challenge for
the
me.
Technical end of that, yeah.
Saying like the same line, but split up in different ways, and she says different things in between, and I'm trying to get her back on track. So I have to really be like, where are we? What's the next bit of the story?
Well, yeah, I mean, and the emotional, you know, because like, it's one thing to go back to the same emotional place every time the lights dim, you're on stage.
Right.
You know, it's another thing to have to do that multiple times in the structure of a, yeah. And I would imagine it's difficult to find the emotional grounding when you're up there.
It's actually been really difficult for me to not be so emotional when Jean's talking. Like, Jean's story is so sad. And I actually do connect to the story because I've had a lot of loss this year. So, like, me trying to hold back my real tears is, like, she's just such a good job. I'm just, like, really emotionally connected to it. But I have to be the grounded one who isn't affected. I'm, like, telling her story and helping her get through her story. So it's been, like, it's been a really interesting dynamic, you know? And she's emotional, so emotional, too. I mean, it's just been such a... heart-wrenching experience. It's been fun too. It's been very fun too. So
there are lighter moments of the play.
It's not that
it might not be a family feel-good, but it does have its moments. It does. She gives us that. She gives us little pieces of gray light.
It's flirtatious, and you know, you get to go through the beginning of their relationship when they meet, and they're both these like strong-willed, independent redheads, you know, that means something. That's just, you know, it's like, and then they kind of have to wear each other down because they're on even footing. And it's just, it's really an interesting dynamic to get from there to where they end up.
According to the playwright, redheads are a different species of some sort that have a certain level of control over others that other hair colors do not enjoy. So there's a red-haired world that's built and created throughout the play, and then taken apart.
I remember the specifics of the mythology of that being developed early on. It's a lot to try to juggle, you know, like all of the different elements. I would imagine. I mean, because you're creating another space, but it has to be emotionally real, which
right.
to a certain extent is what you're always doing with theater. But this is this poses its interesting challenges.
Mm-hmm. You pop in and out of different storylines.
Yeah. I mean, and this being an independent production. There's a lot going on for all three of you, I would imagine, Dion.
Yes.
So this has to be something that you're just periodically peering in on, and hopefully not in horror. But...
No.
Like, what the hell happened here, you know? Why is this falling apart? Is it?
What? No.
Falling apart? No.
Only when it's supposed to.
Well, that's good.
You mean in the script?
Yeah. Where are you putting this on?
It'll be at the Underground Collaborative.
That's a very intimate space.
Yes.
Perhaps a little bit smaller than where you put it on before.
Is that a Kenilworth?
Yeah. No, not at Kenilworth. It was at the UWM Theater.
Oh, yeah.
The Black Box,
yeah.
Too much smaller, right? I think the Black Box is about a 90 seater.
It's a little more contained than the UWM.
Yeah.
Nice, true. Actually.
Yeah, because it... But, I mean, depending on how you set things up, it's...
We have to be economical at certain times. I mean, the bed and the red-haired world is the main set piece, and that takes up, you know, a fair amount of stage space. But the playwright has put this together rather simply. It's the suggestion of a car. It's the red-haired world and the bed, and that's it. And then the rest is lights and sounds. So she hasn't bogged us down with too much.
Yeah.
That we're not, you know, putting on ourselves. As far
the rest
as
of the set takes place in imagery, you know, like describing poetically the stories that are taking place elsewhere. So it's really interesting.
When you're off stage, you're just leaving the space, though, right? There's no real backstage there.
There isn't really off stage. We're on stage the whole time.
I guess you're right.
But we're either like, yes, we're on stage in this space, or yes, we're on stage, but we're talking about a different space. And so that has really worked well, but yeah. But there's no leaving the stage.
You're there, and you're there for the entire time. Yeah.
We get a break when the lights go off. That's pretty much it.
Was there an intermission?
We are going to have an intermission. It'll be a short 10-minute, but yeah. It's a short play, so we just had to decide whether or not we wanted one or not.
But it's really powerful to have one because of where we, like, it is left to give people time to think about what's just happened and catch up.
Yeah, well.
And then because where it comes back in, then it's just going straight on till tomorrow. Yeah. Like, that's it, you know, so.
Also, we want to sell popcorn. Yeah.
Sell subscriptions, right?
To the independent theater.
Guess what we're doing.
We may or may not have anything coming up. We'll take your money anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that you're working together and you've all worked together before. You know,
yes.
But, I mean, it's kind of weird going to an independent show because... The audience is different, distinctly different from each different company.
Right.
But where it's independent, it can be that gray area. It tends to be, a crowd that's more familiar with the actors, you know.
Sure.
But
so coming from the different theater companies that they would normally see these actors
yeah.
at. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to perhaps reach a different audience.
Yeah.
You know? And I would imagine that the space itself is going to draw people.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes, it's neat. If anyone hasn't seen the Underground Collaborative, it is it's an interactive, artistic, theatrical, comedic space. There's all these rehearsal rooms and the stage. And
art galleries.
There's art galleries. There's always people working. It's there's always strange noises coming from the walls. It's great. And it's tucked away. It's tucked away in the underneath the Grand Avenue Mall. So.
Yeah.
So people don't really know it's there for a lot of the time. Like,
yeah, it's like it's built within the ruins of Grand Avenue Mall.
Pink Bananas there, and there's, yeah. and there's companies there, and there's work that happens there frequently.
It's so funny because it seems to be the ongoing joke. Whenever I'm talking to people about that place, they're reluctant to refer to it as the basement. What is that?
I have no idea. This is my first time working in the basement.
It's not really a basement. I mean,
it's a cool basement if it's a basement. It's
yeah.
a really finished,
yeah.
polished basement.
But it really is an underground.
It's
like the floor
below
under,
street level.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
not a basement?
I guess you're right, but it is a whole level, and it's like this whole community. It's totally different from the upstairs, which seems like a deserted,
yeah.
you know, city.
Yeah.
But downstairs, it's all alive, and it's just
the theater is very much alive down there. Grand
so
Avenue.
This underground community,
yeah.
we survived the apocalypse.
The statue of John Plankton just looking over everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
With the beautiful stairs winding down. It's
yeah.
so cool.
There's koi fish.
Yeah, there's koi fish. They just put them back in.
Yeah. So come for the play, stay for the koi fish.
When does it run?
It'll open on April 18th. So we have that Friday and Saturday, and then we have the 21st, which is a pay what you can, a Monday. And then we'll do the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday following. So a short run, but I think it'll be effective.
Okay.
I hope that it'll be effective. We'll see.